everybody. Happy Palm Sunday. Let's get ready to worship this morning. Come on.
People come together, strangest names, but it is one.
Come on.
Children of generations,
yes,
of every nation, of kingdom come.
Don't let your heart.
Remember where our help comes from. Oh, we sing
God, his name is Jesus. Oh, Incredible day, because we get to celebrate that Jesus is alive. Matthew says this. He says, he is not here. He is risen just as he said he would. He's not just a guy who makes promises. He's a guy who comes through on those promises. Amen? Jesus, we thank you for today. God, we thank you that we get to celebrate that the grave is empty. And because of that, we have life. And not just life, but God, life abundantly. So we celebrate today that the game changer that happened is that you rose from the grave. And now we are alive because you're alive. So God, I pray for any individual in this room who doesn't feel fully alive. God, I pray that you would connect with them. God, that they would know that you love them and that you are for them. And we celebrate today the resurrection of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The spotless lamb in a garden there said a prayer for his father's will to take our place and to take the cup, the word in flesh on trial for us.
He took the cross.
Praise to the King. Praise to the King who is seated on the throne, crowned in glory and honor, exalted above all. We shout with one voice from the ground up to the sky. The enemy's defeated. Jesus is alive.
Yes, he is. Come on.
Exalted above.
God, we believe that and we celebrate this morning that you are alive. That's the difference between our faith this morning and all other religions in the world, God, is that our God is alive. Our Savior did come and did conquer the grave, and he is still with us today. God, we celebrate that. We believe it. Amen. Hey, high five someone before you sit down. Good morning, LCC. How are you today?
That was really pathetic, not gonna lie. Come on, get some.
Oh, I thought you were talking
about me. No, not you.
So just side note, I did not plan on dressing like Jamie today.
Oh.
And I don't see him, but look, they're just, look, we're matchy-matchy with the Reeves. We told the Reeves to wear those shirts so we all look alike. I don't see, he gets up way early on Sunday, so I never know what he has on. And I am more the run out the door and hurry up and put something on real fast.
Oh, we know.
So I didn't see really hurried. He walked in. I was like,
really hurried this morning.
You guys are kidding me.
Here at 9 o'clock. Supposed to be here at 8:30.
Oh, we should go to Six Flags today. We match the thing. Yeah.
We go back to giving announcements here.
Yeah.
As can talk at home. I'd like to welcome our guests.
I know. Duncan, you know what? It's so good to have you back. Your sarcasm, your big smile, we've missed it.
Oh,
we've
man.
Missed it. Jamie tries to keep up with sarcasm, but he just doesn't match
I think
ours.
He goes actually a little more sarcastic.
If you are a guest here, welcome. If you would like to text the word welcome to 618-232.
Also, if you are. We wish you were here in person, but hello, welcome to the online service. And if you're on Facebook or YouTube, whatever you're on, preferably Facebook maybe, just say hello, drop a hello in the chat, drop an amen, hello, and also hit that share button. Before Jamie comes up, hit the share button because you have time to do it right now while we're talking because what we say is not important.
Duncan, right, what did you think about the building when you drove up?
It was awesome.
You haven't been here in a while, so.
Oh, amazing. I mean, I turned the corner and I was like, holy smokes.
Takes your breath.
But you know, that's what we did at the men's event. We helped build that stuff. So.
Oh, yeah.
But we do have
a new idea. Because you weren't backing, right?
Yeah,
you
no.
were not, please.
But we have
sure.
we have a new idea. So, Roger helped cooked. Wonderful cook. But, anyways, give it up for Roger. Yeah. But
I know, he does cook.
So, he cooked. But the problem was,
nobody was
stayed
clean.
To clean the dishes. So, next time, we're going to have the men's event from 8 to 9, the women's event from 9 to 10.
You want to know who does the dishes at our house? Not me.
That was a joke, everybody.
Jenny, I don't know if you're here today, but make sure Duncan does dishes while he's home, please. I wanted to say, people, if you only watch online and you have not been by, but you live around, maybe drive by the church and see why we need to make room. It is big and beautiful, and it will take your breath away, I promise. One Life Banquet coming up. We are so excited. I think we have like 4 tickets left. So if you are wanting to come, you better hop on today and buy your ticket. Our One Life Banquet is going towards helping fund the ministry for the next year. One Life is not just for camp. We have big dreams and goals for what One Life ministry looks like in the future. And the banquet's gonna set us up to do that. So thank you all for who are coming. If you cannot come, there is a virtual link and opportunity this year that you can still attend virtually. So if you want to do that, make sure you reach out to us and we'll let you know how.
Is this at the Falls? Where's the
it
one?
It is at the Falls.
Oh, hopefully they, never mind.
Hey, they have good food, and I bet their men that cook and clean there.
Maybe they do, I don't know, I'm not here. But If you're in fifth and sixth grade, this is time for you to leave. If you don't know what 5-6 is and you're new, it's a separate class for fifth and sixth graders. Yeah, sure, he knows what to do. Look at that. Trained. It's a separate class during service for fifth and sixth graders because apparently they...
We don't like them in here.
Yeah, I don't know. They take up way too much room.
They take up too much room.
Scoot over. I kept getting that message when I was gone.
There is a little bit of like housekeeping that we want to do really fast. For those of you who have children in children's ministry, it is very important that you take your tag, your parent tag, when you pick them up. That goes for everybody. That goes for me. So if my kids are going to pick up my little girls, they have to have the tag or the little girls cannot come out of class. That is to keep your children safe.
Yes.
Above anything else. So starting today, but obviously it'll be a work in progress, but please make sure that you take your parent tag back and show them that you can actually take your child. Unless you want someone else to take your child, then hand your tag off, and then they can go with them for
the
day.
Don't say that, there'll be a lot of people.
It's like free babysitting.
Also, is the Easter slide on there? Hopefully, maybe. Easter service, yes. Who's going to Saturday night service? Come on. I thought there'd be more than that, but Saturday night, 6. Or you can go Sunday, 9, 10:45. Or you can go to all three, but... We might kick you out because there might not be enough room. So, anyways. Also, offering. 4 ways to give, as always. Snail mail, which no one does. Website. Actually, some people do snail mail. Old school. Website. Or text to give, which is personally my favorite. Sean, your favorite as well.
That's my
church
favorite.
Center app. Always got to get the church center app. And what's the 4th way to give? The red boxes.
Box.
That's right. You don't get a movie. You don't get a movie.
I don't
still gotta laugh.
I don't even know if DVDs are made anymore, are they? Is that what it's called, right? Because I sometimes say VHS or whatever. I say something wrong.
Cassette player.
I'm old.
Would you like to pray us out?
I would love
this morning.
To pray us out. Thank you. God, we thank you for that, that we can come and worship you and bring our gifts to you today. God, we pray that you bless this offering, that it goes to further your kingdom in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Hey. Good. Look good. Oh, man. So fun. Hey, I got an exciting announcement for you. So we're officially talking about when our launch grand opening will be, which will also be our 10-year anniversary celebration. So June 4th, 5th, and 6th. It'll be a weekend. So save the date, plan ahead. This has been after about 100 different meetings of changing the date. And so we're like, listen, you guys, I'm tired of booking people and having to cancel. I'm tired of ordering things and having to move the date. When can we do it? June 4th, 5th, and 6th. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to have different things the whole weekend. It's going to be an awesome time. We'll still do 2 services on Sunday. You're going to have to RSVP. Because of all of the guests that will be there that day. And so we're going to talk more about it over the next several weeks. But so appreciative of the men and women who have come every week. One of the things that we took off Middendorf's list was cleaning up at the end of Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And we have incredible people that have been coming and doing the small things. But if you want to get inside, you want to see the building, that's how you do it. Those guys yesterday, like 50 some odd guys, come to breakfast and is like, let's go see this building and grab a broom while you're out there. And they're like, we just, that breakfast was not for free, was it? It's like, no, it wasn't, but it was really quick. So appreciate you guys so much. Can we pray? God, thanks so much for today. God, thank you for what you're doing. God, just pray, God, in this moment, these couple minutes that we have together, God, whatever it is that we're facing, whatever it is that we're going through, God, whatever has our attention today, God, I just pray that we would understand from your perspective how you view us, your love for us. God, would you help us today? For those in this room that are hurting, those that are struggling, God, whether it's relational, financial, whatever it is that's happening, God, I just pray that you'd meet us where we are today in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
If you've got a Bible, we're in Romans chapter 11. About a year ago, we were, I forget what hotel we were in, and we're traveling somewhere, and I was watching local news, and there was an ad on this local news, and the ad was, there's like this car, and this woman was in the car, and somebody came up to the car and opened the car really fast. And when you're seeing it from this perspective, you see like this man grabbing this woman, and you kind of get terrified looking at what potentially is happening. And as the camera is just backing away, you see that the car is on fire. So from one perspective, you see like this man is doing something he shouldn't. And then as the camera pulls away, you see, no, he's trying to save her. And it was just a local news station, and I think their tagline was something like, you need the bigger picture, something like that. But it really impressed me that that's how we do life sometimes. That when we're in the middle of it, we feel like something is jarring us, or something is taking us, or we're out of control, and we pan away and we go, whoa, hold up. There's a bigger picture at stake here. God's protecting you, or God's watching out for you, or this is part of the plan, and it's hard to see it when you're in the driver's seat and you only see this individual, and they're being aggressive, and you don't know why, and they can't explain it fast enough, and all of these things. And I believe this is what Romans is. Paul is having a struggle with the Jewish people, and he spent the first 8 chapters like trying to get them to understand that God is for them and not against them, that nothing can separate them, and he's doing all that he can. He's sharing his stories, sharing his testimony. He's saying, God, he's talking about grace, and all of these things are happening, and you hear the frustration of chapters 9, 10, and 11, and he comes to this place, and he starts answering some questions, theological questions, for us today. Like for you and me, what it means for us in 2021. And again, as we're reading the Bible, we got to answer some questions. Don't take scripture from the wrong perspective. And listen, I got to take it from a standpoint that you have to know that God is for you and not against you. Like you have to know that there is a God that chooses us, who chooses, and he chooses us. Right? Other people may not pick us. We might be last on the kickball list. We might be last pick. But God says, oh, no. I chose you. And this is what he's trying to get across to the Jewish people. Paul is trying to get across like, guys, I used to be like you. I'm from the same line. And I want you to know, like, I want you to understand that God still loves you. And so he's talking from the standpoint. First 5 verses of Romans 11. He says, I ask then, has God rejected his own people? And just hear what he's saying, the nation of Israel? Of course not, exclamation point. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. No, God has not rejected his own people, whom he chose from the very beginning. Do you realize what the scriptures say about this? Elijah the prophet complained to God about the people of Israel and said, Lord, they have killed your prophets, torn down the altars. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And do you remember God's reply? He said, no, I have 7,000 others who have never bowed down to Baal. That's what he's saying, right? It's the same today. For few of the people of Israel have remained faithful because of God's grace. His undeserved kindness in choosing them. And since it is through God's kindness, it is not by their good works, for in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. Paul, again, is just trying to get these guys to understand, you're asking the wrong questions. The questions are, what if I reject God? Does that mean then that he doesn't love me? What if I say, no, I don't want anything to do with him? Does that mean? And Paul's exclamation point is, guys, I need you to understand. God is for you and not against you. And in your rejection, he doesn't reject you. That's how relationships work, though. In our culture is, if I reject, then I feel like they're rejecting me also. He's letting them know up front, you may have rejected him for whatever reason. God has not rejected you. Amen. He's making this strong case, this strong point that his grace, his kindness is still for them. He still loves them. He still has a plan. His promises don't stop because you reject. And we need to know that today. Yeah. We need to know that today because there's a lot of individuals, some of you, people that you're encountering, your family, and they feel rejected. They feel broken down by what has happened in life. Do you know how many people have walked away from Jesus, walked away from church because something has happened to them and they feel like God has rejected them? And the biggest message of 2021 is not to be political. The biggest message of 2021 is that God has not rejected you. Has to be the message. It has to be the point. You know why people are coming to Jesus? Because they're getting an understanding that God is for them and God has not rejected them. And today, all over the world, people are celebrating this last week of Christ on the earth and what it means for us in 2021. And we need to talk about Palm Sunday. We need to talk about what it means for us as the church. Because on one hand, you have a culture who is singing and celebrating, and they're saying things like Hosanna in the highest. Prophecy being fulfilled from Zechariah 9:9. Prophecy being fulfilled as Jesus comes riding in on this donkey. And you're like, well, what does that mean for me today? What does it mean? I guess put ourselves in the place in the Bible right now. If I'm a Jewish person, am I rejecting God because of what has happened to me? Because in this room, some of you, you've lost a loved one. Some of you, you have cancer. You've battled something sick. Your husband's left you. Your wife has left you. You're going through something, and you feel rejected. You feel like someone's given up on you. You feel like you're getting hit from every angle. And God's going, let's pan the camera out a little bit. Let's pan it out. And I need you to hear this, because I'm going to say it more than once, and we're going to sing about it. God is faithful.
Yes.
Yes. Come on. You guys need to hear that. Because right now, some of you, you're in the driver's seat, and you're like, what is happening? Yes. And God's going, well, I'm just panning the camera back because I want you to get a little glimpse that I am faithful. Right? This is where these people are at. You know why people are yelling Hosanna? Because they loved what Jesus was about. You know what Jesus was about to this point? Miracles. Yes. Man, they were in the crowd and 5,000 people were hanging out and they're like, man, I'm hungry. And Jesus said, hey, little boy, come here. Let's feed these people. They're like, whew, I experienced it that day. That was the best fish I had. It wasn't even Friday, right? They're like, that was really good. Like, this is incredible. They were there when he was walking along. And he's healing blind people. And it says the whole city is coming out to see him. So that Jesus was popular. But also there's this other side where they had expectations of Jesus. And the expectations of Jesus was we were going to conquer Rome. We were now going to be victorious from this military standpoint. And because we're going to be conqueror and from this military standpoint, we're going to overturn Rome. And God shows up and it's different than how they thought it was going to be. How many times? We're like, God, what is happening? This is not how I saw it going. This is not what I had on my plans. This is not what I checked off. And this is what it says. It says the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is coming. And yet we see just a week later that Jesus is before Pilate. And he says, who is this? But soon many turned against Jesus, demanded his death. What shall I do then with this Jesus who's called the Christ by last? And they answered, crucify him. We go from blessed is the one, Hosanna, putting palm branches down, donkeys, this parade. And now all of a sudden we're yelling, yeah, let's crucify this guy. Schizophrenia, religion. Because we see God as this, and we don't see him from this perspective. We see him from this, what can you do for me? What can you do for me, God? God, here I am. Let me rub a little harder. Maybe this genie Jesus will come out and he'll do what I ask. What happens when God doesn't answer your prayer? What happens when God, it doesn't go how you thought it was going to go? What happens when you thought you were going to be a military power and this guy comes and he's washing people's feet? What happens when he's saying things like, go wash your eyes and then you're going to be healed and people are amazed. And yet a week later, five quick things. quick things for Palm Sunday that remind us that Christ is King. First, victory. Amen. Guys, in our world, in our culture, we got to be reminded that we are victorious. Yeah. You got to be reminded that Jesus already paid the price.
Woo! Yes.
You got to be reminded, like, it's rigged. I know how it ends. Right? If I told you next year who was going to win the Super Bowl, after you made a bunch of money, you're going to be really pumped because you already know. You know the score. You know who's going to win. You're going to be really pumped. And what would you do? You're going to tell anybody and everybody that's going to listen to you because you look like the smartest man in the world. Right? It's like Back to the Future all over again. You got the book. Way ahead of time. Some kids are like, what's better? They don't know what a DVD is or a VHS. You're just streaming it on whatever. Right? Says, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? We are victorious because this is what happens. When Jesus rode into the city, the palm branch represented goodness and victory. But it wasn't just victory, it was a final victory. That's what it represented. It represented final victory. You know why sometimes I live a defeated life? You know why sometimes I put so much stock in what happens on earth? Because I forget that there is a final victory. That I forget. And he's saying, what is the worst thing that can happen? Oh, death, where is your victory? Death is defeated. This is why Paul is able to say, what are you going to do to me? Are you going to take away this body that's dying anyway? Good for you. Take it away. Because if you take it away, I'm absent from this world and I'm present with the Lord. But if you don't take it away, I'm still here to be a mouthpiece to let everybody and anybody know that I once was lost, but now I'm found. And this is the point. I'm victorious. What are you going to do? I know how this thing ends. I've read Revelation, even though most people don't want to. Victory, it's peace. It's Zechariah 9:9. I'll read it for you. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The Jewish people knew this. They're like, wait a second. I see scripture being fulfilled. I see God's promise of the Old Testament coming alive right before my eyes. And they're saying things like, wow. And he says, I am bringing peace. This is what this was. Prophecy being fulfilled. It was common for kings or important people to arrive in this procession riding on a donkey because the donkey symbolized peace. It's significant. It wasn't that it was just some extra. Right? It wasn't that it was just an animal. It was talked about hundreds of years before. You know why? Because he's a promise keeper. Yes. That's why. And the Jewish people were like, okay, I've heard about this. I've heard about this. Guys, you don't understand. Like, these guys knew who Paul is talking to. They knew the old writings. They know Zechariah 9. They know it. Like, they know that this is what it's saying about him. And so now when they see it happen, they're like, whoa, victory. Whoa, peace. This is not how I expected this to go. And it's almost like God's going, good, because you get in the way. Right? This is what he's saying. And ultimately, the third thing is salvation. You know, Hosanna. Hosanna means save now. Because Jesus is salvation. You know why Jesus came? They thought he was going to save them from Rome and this political power. And Jesus says, nope, I'm saving you from your sins. They knew he was salvation. They just thought it was temporal and right here. Don't get caught up in the right here. Salvation is so that your sins can be forgiven, which causes you to live differently, to view things differently, to back away and to see the big picture. That is salvation. Salvation isn't changing your circumstance. Salvation is changing your heart. And when God changes your heart, your outside circumstances, the way you see, the way you act, the way you talk, that's what changes. That's why he's consumed by that. You want your circumstances to change. God goes, I'm more concerned about your heart and changing your heart, because when your heart changed, your marriage changed. When your heart changed, your kids see something different. That's the point. The point is not changing the outside. The point is changing the inside.
Yeah.
The fourth thing. This is all just the prelude. I'm just throwing that out there. As Jesus was broken. It says Jesus left from there. It's the smallest verse in all the Bible. He looked over Jerusalem, and it says, Jesus wept. Why was Jesus broken? It continues. For he knew Jerusalem would reject him. Because he knew the same people, some of them, that were screaming Hosanna, in a couple days were going to say, give us Barabbas. Crucify him. Pilate's like, hey, man, my hands are washed. His wife has had a dream. She's been up all night going, don't touch that innocent man. He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you want me to do with this innocent man? My hands are clean of this man. And they said, crucify him. You know why Jesus was broken? Because he was the answer, and they rejected the answer. You know why Paul is broken in Romans 9, 10, and 11? Because he knows the answer. He knows how this thing ends, and he's trying to convince people. He's trying to convince the Jewish people, you guys, you may have rejected them, but he's still for you. He's not against you. You may have turned your back on him. He's not turning his back on you. And the fifth thing that Palm Sunday reminds us of is why Jesus is king. It reminds us that the reign of Christ, the reign of Jesus, is far greater than anything else. And this was the significance. Man looked for someone to fight their battles in the present day world. Yet God sent his son to fight for all of eternity and become the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I could be set free. Looking for freedom. Verse 19 of Romans 11. Let's go back there. Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ. And you are there because you do believe. So don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. For if God did not spare the original branches, he won't spare you either. Notice how God is both kind, and severe. He is severe toward those who disobeyed, but kind to you if you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you will also be cut off. And if the people of Israel turn from their unbelief, they will be grafted in again. What did he just say? He just said, listen, when you're disobedient, there's consequences. And those consequences are real. But I'm telling you, when you reject me, and if you ever want back in, I'll graft you right back in. This is the promise. This is the promise. He's like, listen, you reject me, I'm going to let you go do your thing. I'm not your puppet master. I'm not dictating how you move. I'm not making you do. This is free will, baby. You want to do your thing? Here it is. Go do your thing. But the moment you come back, I'm running to you. I'm running after you. I'm grafting you back in. He didn't say, you come back to me, I'm going to prove my point. I'm going to prove my lesson to you. I'm going to spank you. I'm going to ground you. Oh, you're not having your phone for a week. He didn't say any of that. He said, no. Instantly, I'm grafting you back in. That's the beauty. That's the beauty. You're like, and some of us, we don't like that. We like that for us. We don't necessarily like that for other people. Like, no. They get the same benefit. You don't know what they've done. You don't know what they've said. God goes, graft you right back in. For God has the power to graft them back into the tree. He's basically saying, you don't. I do. Let me do what I do. You, by nature, were a branch cut off from a wild olive tree. So if God was willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting you into his cultivated tree, he will be far more eager to graft in the original branches back into the tree where they belong. This is the hope that Paul's talking about to the Jewish people. He's like, listen, it's for you guys, but now it's also for the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are getting it. They're getting saved. And so you religious Jewish people, stop being stupid so God can graft you back in. Like, open your eyes, wake up. This is what he's saying, and he's frustrated. You know why Paul's frustrated? Because it's frustrating when people do stupid things, right? Do you ever just want to shake people? Oh, I'm the only one. Yeah, he's the only crazy guy. Yep. And that's probably the only clip you're going to show. All I know is he wants to shake the whole church. Who knows what he's like behind his doors with his kids? Making stuff up. He says in verse 25, I want you to understand this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will only last until the full number of Gentiles come to Christ. He's saying, you guys, there is a time coming. There's a time coming where you're going to miss your opportunity. So there's an urgency in the hour of what Paul's saying. Paul's going, guys, this is urgent times. Times are getting crazy. Right? Can we say it? Yeah. Sodom and Gomorrah is looking a little closer like us more and more every single day. It is. I don't care what channel you watch or anything like that. It's getting crazy. And he's saying there's an urgency in the hour because salvation is at hand. So there has to be an urgency in our voice. There has to be an urgency in what we're doing. Like, because there's things that are getting in the way, and he's saying, stop letting it get in the way. People are getting saved. It's just not you. That's what he's saying. He's like, but I want you to be grafted back in because the Gentiles are getting it. You know why the Gentiles are getting it? You know why people with no church experience, no religious affiliation, you know why they grow faster than the people that do? Because in the opportunity that we had as the church, we've messed some things up. And we got to admit it. We got to admit it. That denominations and churches as a whole have messed some things up. And we're so afraid to say that publicly. Like, no, no, no. The church is perfect. I'm talking about the church. And we're all sinners. Yeah, we've all fallen short. All of us. And we've said things like, your kind's not welcome here. And God goes, what? If that's the case, why are you here? Because he sins differently than you sin? Oh, I didn't know that I elevated those types of sins. You elevated them. I don't elevate them. He does talk about them having different consequences. There are. You lie to someone, there's a consequence. You murder someone, it's not the same consequence. There are consequences, but to God, you've sinned. You've broken the law. And in breaking the law, you've sinned. And so to say that that person's sin is higher than mine or they're not welcome here is not the gospel. It's not the good news. It's man-made. It's a religion that we've made. And so when people stay away from the church, it's because they don't like the man-made stuff that we've brought into it. And so when people don't have a church background, we go, good. Now you're not messed up when you come in. I don't got to transfer memberships and all that kind of stuff. As if I even know what that is. Oh, where to go from here? That is the question. Lamentations chapter 3. I'm not going to read it all for you, okay? But the first 20 verses, Jeremiah is frustrated. I mean, he's frustrated. He's praying prayers and saying statements that I think a lot of us make. We make these statements. And, I mean, he says things like, well, he says a lot of things. I mean, he starts off just the first verse. I am the one who has seen the affliction that comes from the rod of the Lord's anger. He has led me into darkness, shutting out all the light. He has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. I mean, this guy, Jeremiah, is just like, I'm lamenting. That's why it's called lamentation. He's like, I'm lamenting at the fact that this is what's happened to me. Like, bad has happened to me. And I don't know where to force or to put my anger. I don't know where to put my frustration. And so, Lord, I'm being honest in my prayers. And if there's ever an hour where we need to be honest in our prayers, and this is his point. He's like, I'm saying all these things because all of these things have stopped people from growing. All these people have stopped people from moving forward into what God has for them. All of these things we've all faced and we've all questioned and we've all said things like, God, what is happening? What is happening right now? God, I don't understand all of these things, and this is where he is. But he ends with this point. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Amen. His mercies never cease. Amen. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Jeremiah's saying, you guys, I'm frustrated, but God's got the last word. God has the last word. Heaven and earth will pass, but his words, he says this in Matthew, he says, but my words will never pass away. Isaiah says it this way, for just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty. But it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in what I send it to do. He's saying, listen, you may reject me, you may walk away from me, but I'm letting you know, church, I'm letting you know, whenever you're ready, I'm ready to graft you in. And the promise then is still the promise today. You haven't walked out on the promise, because I am a promise keeper. I am faithful, and this is my word. And so you may think you missed your opportunity, but God goes, you're still breathing. You've not missed the opportunity. It just didn't happen the way you thought it should happen. And because it didn't happen that way, you think that God rejected you, and he wants you to know he didn't reject you. You rejected him, but he's still willing to graft you in. This is the good news. And there's a couple statements I got to make. I'm spitting all over my stuff. God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. And this is where we mess it up. All right, God, here I am, Wonder Boy. I've showed up. I'm God's gift to everything. Thank you for blessing me, Lord. What could you do for me today? And God goes, whoa. That's not why you're here. That's not it at all. And we fight it. We're like, what? I thought this was the, you need me. You need what? And he goes, I'm not this genie that you just get three wishes, and today's a good week. You're misunderstanding who God is. Because God's heart is always loving, first and foremost. And because God's heart is always loving, how he loves looks different than how we love, because we have strings attached to our love. God does not. And so God is going to say no to us, and you may think that that means that God doesn't love you, but God goes, no, because I love you. It's a hard no. You think because God says no, you think because a parent says no, you think because it didn't go the direction that you thought that God doesn't love you, but I'm here to tell you that it's because it went the direction he went that you understand that he does love you. This is hard for us to understand. Because when I read Romans 8 and I see who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? We read that and we're like, okay, there's a fat chance in America, maybe it'll happen, that I'm going to be naked or sword or anything or persecution. And we have all kinds of perspective on that. But trouble and hardship, those we see. What shall separate us? Shall financial trouble, shall unemployment, shall cancer, shall relational breakdown, shall divorce, shall depression, shall anxiety? And he's like, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, and so on. He's like, no, God's heart is he's always loving. And his ways are always higher. You know what that means? It's not just a pretty statement. To understand, as the people of Israel and the Jewish people, Paul's going, you're looking at God from the wrong perspective. You think he's angry. He's always loving. It's just you see anger as not love, but that is his love. Discipline is his love. We think if I'm not disciplined, that I have this freedom to do whatever. And God goes, no, I discipline those that I love. Right? If that's not the case, my kids are eating ice cream every single night. Yeah. There is something wrong with that, and it'll be later in life. God's ways are always higher. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And then this is the biggest one I need you to hear. God's presence is always enough. God's presence
is always enough. You know what Paul got to? Paul got to this place. Is he said, I'm not worried what will happen to me because I know who's with me. David got to that point. It's the reason he wrote the 23rd Psalm. Right? Because he says, listen, I'm not worried what's going to happen to me. I'm just more concerned that are you still with me? His presence is always enough. Even though I walk through the dark valley, I fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. You know why? He says it's okay because God is good on the mountaintop, but he's with you in the valley. And he's like, listen, as long as you're with me, it's good. God, thank you that you're faithful to me when I'm faithless. God, when I'm fearing, thank you that you're still not rejecting me. You're still for me, not against me. God, your love does not separate. You still love me. And this is his point to the Roman church. This is Romans 11 to a T. He's like, you guys think that you're rejecting God and now God is just mad at you. And God goes, no. I'm ready to graft you back in. I'm ready, willing, and able. Because you read the prodigal son and you go, what kind of dad is that? And he says, a dad that cannot control his son, but a dad who will be here whenever he returns. What kind of response does that dad have towards the son? The response God has towards you. You're grounding him. God's loving him where he was. You're saying things like, you stole my money. God's going, the son that I thought was dead is now alive again. Let's party. Let's celebrate. Bring out the best of the best. And he did three significant things. He put on a ring. He put on a robe. And he put on sandals. You know why he did that? Because he was naked. And his robe was his father's robe. He put sandals on his feet because he didn't have shoes on. And he put a ring signifying, you are not some hireling. You are my son. Do you know what his mindset was? His mindset was, I'll go back to my father's house and I'll just be some guy in the field. And he says, no. You're not some guy. You're my son. And there's nothing that you will ever do that I will reject you when you come back. Nothing. I'll put the best on you because you are my son, you are my daughter. It doesn't matter where you've been, and I need you to know that God is faithful. God is for you. He is a promise keeper, and this is the point that Paul is trying to get across. This is why you hear the frustration of what he's saying. This is why. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing a song that we've sung before. You might know it, you might not. And it's the words of this song that I want you to hear. It says, we're heaven-spun creations. That's you and us. You and me. Bad English right there. His pride and adoration, treasures woven by his love. His kindness overwhelming, his hope never, oh, what is it? Help me out. Oh, yeah. His hope for me unending. He's never given up on me. Like some of you in this room, that's the only line you needed to hear. He's never given up on you. He's never given up on you. You're like, why am I here today? What is the reason? It's too early. It's a beautiful day out. Here's the word that you need to hear. He's never given up on you. And then our part, I will sing of all you've done. And I'll remember how far you've carried me. There wasn't a day that you weren't by my side. There wasn't a day that you let me fall. In all of my life, your love has been true. With all of my life, I will worship you. Do you know why I don't walk in victory? Because I don't remember all that he's done. Because I look back over my life and I see the regret and the negativity. I hear what people have said to me and I forget. I don't ask you to read your Bible so that you could just become part of this cult, Kool-Aid drinking church. It's so that you would understand what God says you are. who God says you are, that you're son and a daughter, and that you remember what he's done for you. He's carried you in all of these things, and you're sitting here, and you might be saying, like, you don't understand my relationships, or you don't understand this uncertainty. And this is who Paul's talking to. He's talking to this group of people who have rejected God because of uncertainty, because God didn't do what they thought God should do. And I'm here to tell you that he's still God. He's still faithful. His promises are still for you today. You're like, I feel so far. And God goes, draw near to me. And as you're drawing near to me, here's my promise to you. I am drawing near to you. We serve a God that doesn't just empty the grave. He doesn't stiff arm you when you come back. He openly welcomes you into the family. And he uses words like grafted you back in. I mean, what in the, are you serious, God? He's like, yes, yes. So you guys, it's not just a verse of the day. It's, God, what are you saying to me today? God, what are you speaking to me today? What are you speaking? What are you saying? God, I'm praying right now. Come on, if anything that was just said in the last 25 minutes is for you, could you just lift a hand real quick? You say, yep, I need to hear something today. God, I needed to hear that today. God, thank you that you're not a God that we can come to and say, change this situation. You're a God that we can come to and we say, God, change us. Change us. My situation may not change, but you've changed me, so now I see the situation for what it is. And God, now I know that you're for me, not against me. I don't have to live some boring, dead life, but because you're alive, I can be alive. And God, I've rejected you and said no to you and been disobedient. But God, today, I say, Jesus, I need you. I'm trusting you. I want to start over. So God, I echo what Lamentations, what Jeremiah the prophet was saying. Your mercies are new every single morning. And because of that, God, your love is never ending. God, thank you for that today. Come on, hands up, hands up. God, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that people walk out of this room in a couple moments with a renewed confidence of knowing they're loved, knowing that they're not rejected. God, knowing that you have plans and purposes. Yep, they're different. Man, the last 10 years has been different. It's not what I thought. You're still God. You are still God. We are celebrating who you are and what you're doing in our lives. So God, here we are, and we say, we trust you because you are faithful. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can we sing this? Can we declare this song right now?
We're heaven-spun creations, his pride and adoration, treasures woven by his love. His careful hands, they hold us safe within his promise of calling and of destiny. We're heaven-spun creations, his pride and adoration, treasures woven by his love. His careful hands, they hold us safe within his promise of calling and of destiny.
When I was singing of all you've done, yes we do, and I'll remember till the end. You are faithful, faithful to the end.
A father's heart that's full.
Remember that as we go out these doors this morning, as we go out to the world. Let us celebrate Palm Sunday. Let us celebrate what is to come, Lord, the celebration of Easter. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Let us be a light for others this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, you guys have a wonderful week. Stay out of trouble.